I'm Lesley Dimashio.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As the big games just keep coming thick and fast, the Premiership playoffs begin tonight with Partick Thistle and Inverness looking to move towards the top flight. It looks like Jota could be ready to swap Benfica for Celtic on a permanent deal. And it's been a sad day at Ibrox with the passing of legendary Rangers kitman Jimmy Bell. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon Diehl and Roger Hanna.
Yeah, a very sad and sombre day for everyone associated with Rangers. Gordon, the tributes have poured in throughout the day. You heard Cammy Bell at the end of the news there. That's really reflective of all of the tributes we've heard. I think there's a shock factor attached to Jimmy's passing as well. He was in the Rangers dugout at Celtic Park on Sunday. He was preparing for an enormous European semi-final at Ibrox on Thursday night. And I think I speak for us all on Super Scoreboard when we pass on our condolences to the Bell family and all Jimmy's friends and colleagues.
Yeah, I agree with Roger there. Sad day for Rangers. Jimmy served the club for so long and was very well thought of, not just by managers, ex-managers, coaching staff, but every player you speak to, Gordon, speaks very highly of Jimmy Bell and the job that he'd done with Rangers. And our thoughts are with his family, obviously. Looking to tonight's football, obviously a lot of exciting playoff games. And then the big one on Thursday, not long to go now.
01419511025. Get your calls in. Whatever is on your mind tonight, this is the place to share it. Jimmy Bell's been at Rangers for so long. I'd imagine lots of you fans have got stories and memories, anecdotes. Maybe you've met him, maybe you've heard funny stuff, maybe you just want to pass on general condolences. You're more than welcome to do that at some point. Of course, we will talk football. There's a rather big game for Rangers on Thursday, in case you hadn't noticed. So get your thoughts in on that. Reports today, Celtic fans coming from Portugal, so don't blame us, that Jota could be ready to swap Benfica for Celtic on a permanent deal. Is that something that excites you? And where are you Partick Thistle fans? I would love to hear from some of you on your way to the game. Partick Thistle, Inverness, the Premiership playoffs, 7:05. Why not pick up the phone and share your excitement, nerves, optimism, dread, whatever it is. 0141 951 1025. I've not forgotten about you, Montrose, Airdrie, Annan, Forfar, Edinburgh City and Dumbarton fans. Of course not, all fighting your own fight, but the chance to get to the top flight via the playoffs is an exciting one, Roger.
Yeah, it always is. And you've forgotten the other piece of news today. Raith Rovers in the market for a new manager.
Any club legends out of work?
I'm just worrying that this might be our last Super Scoreboard together.
Anything you can tell us?
I'm out of work, am I? Is this my last show tonight? it'll be interesting to see. A very good club, but obviously a lot of fond memories up there, Gordon. Still staying full time, so it's a good job. I wish John McGlynn, I've got a lot of time for John McGlynn and Paul Smith. I signed Paul when I was their manager. Great lads. And I think they'll be a real asset to Falkirk next year if they get the job.
And that's going to be some division, League One next year. You know, you talk about the playoffs there. The playoff tomorrow night, Queen's Park against Inverness. You could end up with a League One next season with Falkirk, Dunfermline, Airdrie, Kelty Hearts coming up, Gordon. So yeah, it's a good job. It's a good move for John McGlynn, but he'll have his work cut out there.
It's a heck of a week coming up as well, Roger Hanna. We'll get the inside track on Leipzig and what they've been doing in the last few days. I think many people will have noticed anyway, but generally speaking, before we dig into the specifics, it's going to be quite the few days ahead.
It's going to be an odd few days ahead. There's not a European semi-final comes about every year. 14 seasons since Rangers played Fiorentina, and that second leg in Florence got through in a dramatic penalty shootout with 10 men. Nacho Novo scoring at the end of the shootout to send Rangers to Manchester. It will be an emotional night at Ibrox after Jimmy Bell's tragic passing today, and the significance of the fixture will be lost on no one. RB Leipzig lost again last night to Borussia Mönchengladbach in the Bundesliga. The manager, Domenico Tedesco, very critical of his players, threatening changes to the side that's coming to Ibrox on Thursday. And you see how strongly Rangers finished the game at Celtic Park on Sunday. This game is on a knife edge. This game could go either way. And Rangers have a chance of getting to a European final, Gordon.
And in terms of the title race, Gordon, I think most Celtic fans and observers from out with the club feel that the title is done. It's nearly there. But of course, nearly is, mm-hmm. is the key word, and they've just got to wait patiently and go and do the job on Saturday, and then, you know, wait patiently again for it to become absolutely official, depending on whether Rangers drop points on Sunday or indeed Celtic go on and win the game afterwards. But, you know, a victory on Saturday is, it's pretty much done, clearly.
Yeah, yeah. Take an enormous turnaround for Celtic to throw that away, Gordon. I think we all agree that they will be crowned champions. It's just when. They'll not bother about that. At the start of the season, if you'd have given this scenario just now, that they play Hearts and then they may have to wait on Sunday against Rangers Dundee United at Ibrox, they may have to wait till next week, they wouldn't care, because they were in a position that they were rebuilding. A manager came in that we'd never heard of. He picked up, we were at the Wars on Sunday, picks up manager a year, in my opinion, deservedly so. I think he's been absolutely brilliant for the club. So if you'd have said Celtic, look, you'll have to maybe wait a week or two more for a championship, for a title, they'd have bit your hand off, and I think throughout the season they've thoroughly deserved it.
Were you, Roger, as surprised as me that when Ange Postecoglou went to collect his manager of the year, you know, I saw him sort of scanning the room at one point. I thought that was going to be the big moment where the eyes locked with his former teammate of South Melbourne, Gordon Dalziel, and they would reunite, hug on stage. Didn't seem to care, didn't seem to notice.
I was really kicking myself because I had the opportunity to interview Ange after the presentation through in another room in the hotel, and he was away, he was rushing back. It was Celtic's own club awards at a separate hotel on Sunday night. He was dashing away, and we'd finished the interview and he was gone. He was away back with Callum McGregor, player of the year, Leila Bada, young player of the year. And it was only then I thought, I've missed my opportunity to quiz him about the great days they had down under with us.
The one that got away. We'll maybe get in touch with him before the end of the season, right? 01419511025. Let's bring in Scott, who's a Rangers fan, to kick things off tonight. What's your point, Scott?
Hi guys, good evening, how are you?
Good, thank
Hi,
you.
Scott.
So obviously, first of all, a big Rangers fan, like to send the condolences about Jimmy Bell, absolute legend for the club.
Yeah, I think, Roger, that word has been thrown around a lot today, and it's a fitting one, because how do you even begin to sum up, firstly, the length of service? So that's one thing. That longevity speaks for itself. You then see the feeling and the depth of the tributes that are being paid by almost every player that's played for Rangers in those, you know, 30 odd years. And it seems that, you know, the term kit man probably doesn't really do it justice, does it?
No, listen, Jimmy was well into his fourth decade of service at the football club. The tributes have poured in social media today, but for younger listeners, for younger supporters of Rangers or other clubs, if you want to get a handle on Jimmy Bell's contribution to the football club, I noticed a short video, 2 or 3 minutes long, on the club's official Twitter feed this afternoon, and there is video, there are still photographs going back from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, Stephen Gerrard, Mark Warburton, Alec McLeish, Dick Advocaat, two spells of Walter Smith as manager, right back to the Graham Souness era in the 80s. Great managers, great players, and they all valued Jimmy Bell's contribution to the football club. And honestly, Scott, if you haven't seen it yet, go and have a look at the video. That sums up Jimmy Bell's career perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, like I said, it's not every club that you can, that the fans, I think most fans of a club would know who the kit man was, but you're talking about this guy being sort of synonymous with the club over the last however many years, as Roger says. I don't want to devalue it by saying only the kit man, because that makes it sound so disrespectful. But for the fact that you're in that role, you're not playing, you're not managing the team, you're not front and centre, but you still manage to be as important as all those people, that sort of speaks volumes.
Yeah, I think what speaks volumes for him is the fact that every manager speaks so highly of him. He was a massive character, and I think that's the word character around the dressing room, Gordon, because you hear players that play just now, you hear ex-players like Andy Halliday, who was there with Jimmy as well. They talk, they tell great stories about his character, his personality, and he was just a part of a team. And people, it is, because he's one of the most famous kit men. You go about Scotland and you see Jimmy Bell, they recognise it with Rangers right away. So he's very highly, you know, stood up in the fact that the players respected him so much. He will be a massive miss in that dressing room just now. Don't let's be kidded here, because he was such a big part. Every morning you went in there, the first thing you had to do was make sure your kit was there, and you would go and speak to the kit. The kit man was massive in a dressing room, especially at a club the size of Rangers. And the rapport between the players and the kit man, and Jimmy will be sadly, sadly missed, Gordon, there's no doubt.
I mean, Scott, sad news comes in various shapes and sizes, but I guess the shock factor is you know, relevant this time, isn't it? Because he was on the touchline just on Sunday. You know, he played a big part. I think everyone obviously expected that to be the case on Thursday night as well.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, on social media, a couple of pictures today, Celtic fans been over to Ibrox, paying their respect also, which brings everybody together.
Yeah, that happens, Roger, these times, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it was a couple of young Celtic fans who went and paid their own tribute, laid, you know, mementos at the gates at Ibrox this afternoon, and top of all the other, you know, tributes that were there to Jimmy. And it was a nice touch, and it shows that, you know, in sort of dark days like this, the fact that a man, you know, a father, a husband has lost his life, a colleague, a friend has lost his life, you know, people appreciate the significance, and people want to send their own condolences, their own sympathies to the Bell family and to the Rangers family, Gordon.
Social media gives you a new perspective on these things, Roger. You would expect that, you know, the sort of the so-called Rangers men, the guys who grew up round about here and were there for ages, you would expect them to have a bit of a rapport, but like I said, it seems that every single player that crossed that door over the last 30 years has taken the time out of their day to play tribute.
I think that strikes you a bit more. I know you spoke to our own Andy Halliday earlier in the day. I spoke, I was speaking to Chris Boyd earlier in the day, and those guys were, you know, visibly upset by the news. But then you see, you know, tweets and messages on Instagram from Ronald de Boer and Marco Negri and Carlos Cuellar, and, you know, players of, you know, won the Rangers shirt with distinction for the last 20, 25, 30 years, you know, adding personal pictures of themselves with Jimmy over the years. And, you know, you see they're all touched by it as well. And, you know, I hope, you know, on a day like this, it brings a little bit of comfort to the Bell family that he was so highly regarded by all of those players who's, you know, he came into contact with over the years.
Absolutely. If you've got any stories or memories, tributes you want to pay, you're more than welcome to do that. What about your team at the moment, Scott? How do you feel after the weekend that just passed?
Well, Sunday really played really well. I didn't expect to get a draw. First half all Celtic, second half all Rangers. Now going on to Thursday night, if the rumours are true that Kimaruf is going to be fit, that's going to be a big, big, big incentive for Rangers to get through.
It'll be interesting, Roger. It'll be a tense wait. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst will meet the press tomorrow. That's not to say he will reveal either way whether Kemar Roof's fit or not.
My understanding is he should be ready to be involved in some role on Thursday night. Now, whether he's fit enough to start the game, whether he's fit enough to be involved off the bench, off the back of Sunday, and you know, Fashion Sakala played well on Sunday. Is there an argument that, you know, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst doesn't risk him from the start? The quarter final went to 120 minutes, Gordon. There's every chance the semi final will go to 120 minutes. So it might just be a case that Roof and Aaron Ramsey might be deemed ready for the bench and may need to come off the bench to help out at some stage.
You're in a difficult place here because until he stuck the ball in the back of the net, you were not saying Fashion Sakala played well on Sunday.
And
he finished the game well.
I didn't say he didn't play well. He just didn't get involved in the game at all, Gordon.
Yeah, sounds like the same thing.
Right, okay. We can split hairs here with that one. But I think he never got involved. And when I seen the substitutes getting ready to come on, I thought he's under pressure. He may be one. But all credit to the Rangers manager. He decided, I'll throw him through the middle. Get a bit of pace, let him play on the shoulder. He got his goal, gave him so much confidence, and he finished the game very, very well. Now, I know what Roger's saying about, I thought the Rangers were excellent second half at Celtic Park, really did. I thought they showed some great character, they could come out. I thought they played very well indeed. But I keep going back to it. I don't know if Sakala is from the start of a game to play the number nine role. I don't think he's suited for that. I think the managers get big decisions if Roof is fit. Roof became one of the most important players at Rangers for a long time now. Everybody wants to, you know, hear the news that he's going to be fit to take part in the game somewhere along the line. But he may just look at what happened at Celtic Park and keep Roof depending on his fitness. But I keep going back to, I still think Sakala is not the one to start there. Yes, throw him up when things aren't going well and, you know, you're trying to get back into the game, you're trying to change something, you're trying to get him involved, because it certainly worked on Sunday. But from the start of a game on Thursday night and a massive game where you're really wanting the ball to stick, you want to go up the pitch, you want to cause them problems, you want to be on the front foot, I don't know if he's the guy to do that.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, a lot will depend on how fit he's deemed to be. You know, he has been out, I think, since the 17th of April, as has Aaron Ramsey. So you don't know how they'll judge it. Do they want to try and get him on? And so you hear some managers say, well, we thought we could get an hour out of him. Do you play him from the start and get an hour out of him and then take him off? Or do you wait and see how the game goes? You know, Rangers, they've tended to come out the blocks in these home European games very quick. They scored the goal through Tavernier very early against Braga in the quarterfinals, and that really gave them a sort of stranglehold on the second leg. So it depends what Giovanni Van Bronckhorst wants to do. I think a lot of it will be dictated by what the medical team say to him about Roof's chances of seeing out a lengthy period of time, and also Ramsey's.
Roger, if he does decide to go with Roof from the beginning, he's then got another massive problem. Is does he start Sakala?
Yeah,
because of the personnel behind. So I think if Roof's fit, it gives him good problems because he's now got good choices.
Yeah, keep those calls coming then. 01419511025. Whether it is to look ahead to Thursday, whether you Celtic fans have got something else on your mind. Interesting news coming out of Portugal regarding Jota today, suggesting he's ready to sign for Celtic permanently. Is that music to your ears? Let us know. I've not forgotten about you, Partick Thistle fans. Don't think you're off the hook. Where are you? It's a Premiership playoff tonight. You must be on your way to the game. It's a 7:05 kickoff. So pick up the phone and let us know what is on your mind. I'm fully expecting more tributes, memories, stories of Jimmy Bell after his sad passing as well. So keep the calls coming, and let me run this past you first.
Super Scoreboard European football coverage with Moyer and Sweeney Litigation, a multi-award winning law firm with a name you can trust.
Now, if you're like Gordon DL and you wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and decide to sit and watch TV for the next 4 hours, as he did last night, he was telling me on the way in, Roger, I don't want to know what he was watching, none of my business at that time of night. We're giving you the chance to win a 58-inch Samsung 4K TV and an Amazon Echo Show. Now, it's all thanks to Moyer and Sweeney Litigation, who are sponsors of European football coverage this season. They are a multi-award winning law firm. We're talking high quality, discreet legal advice all across the legal spectrum: criminal defence, family law, road traffic, public inquiries, personal injury, and lots more. If don't take my word for it, if you want to find out more, go to Clyde1.com, and that's also where you enter for the chance to win the 58-inch Samsung TV and Amazon Echo Show. It's all thanks to Moyer and Sweeney Litigation, sponsors of Super Scoreboard's European football coverage.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL are here at 0141 951 1025. Pick up the phone and let us know what is on your mind tonight, whether it's Thursday for you Rangers fans, whether it's reports today that Jota could be ready to sign permanently for you Celtic fans. Maybe you're a Partick Thistle fan off to Firhill for the Premiership playoff tonight. Whatever it is, pick up the phone and let us know. 01419511025. David's in Carfin next. David, how's it going?
Hi guys, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Hi, I'm not bad. Obviously, you know from me calling before, I'm a big Celtic fan, and obviously like to pay my respects to the family, the whole Rangers family, actually, with the passing away of Jimmy Bell, club legend. So start off with that one. It's devastating news.
Well said. Thanks for that, David.
On to my point, I think obviously the qualification for the Champions League next season directly for Celtic will have its monetary advantages, no doubt about it. But the fact that that our season will start on the 5th of August, normally when we play a league game and we don't have to go through a barrage, let's face it, the biggest games of our season before our season's already started, will only help Celtic in the Champions League. because it's an absolute gauntlet to get through these qualifiers, because you're just playing the league champions all the time, and the best one in the world, it's difficult to qualify. So the fact that we're straight in, if we are lucky enough to finish it off over the next couple of games, I just think that in the Champions League we'll bear the fruits of not having to play qualifiers.
I think that's a great point, Roger. There's maybe a wider point here about the modern football obsession with money and how that's all we ever think about, because that has been the headline. It's 40 million, 40 million, 40 million. But the scheduling becomes a whole lot better for Celtic.
I was speaking to somebody about this today, actually, Gordon. And David, there is no downside to going straight into the group stages of the Champions League. Celtic are all but guaranteed that honour. Rangers, if they win the Europa League, will go in with them direct to the group stages. And what it does, you're quite right in terms of scheduling. You miss out those horrible banana skin qualifiers. You don't have to play the League Cup groups. You get a longer summer break. You think of the lads who play for Scotland. I think their last game scheduled for June the 14th. So they would get a bit of a longer break than they would normally do. And what it also does, yes, it gives you the money, but I think it also enhances, I'll take your club Celtic, I think it enhances Celtic's chances of keeping the likes of Jota and Cameron Carter-Vickers at the football club, because if they're swithering thinking, well, what do I do next season, and they are guaranteed six games, maybe more, in the Champions League, that's attractive to footballers. It would be the same for Rangers. If Rangers get in, you know, either directly via winning the Europa League or through the Champions League qualifying round, you know, the end of July, it also makes a whole, you know, a move to Rangers a whole lot more appealing for prospective transfer targets.
It's a great point that David makes, Gordon, because, you know, we have become a bit obsessed with the monetary advantage of making it to the Champions League, which of course is great, but every year it seems our teams, you know, it does come around very early. Have you got your transfer business done in time? Have you got your squad ready? Are they playing the way you want? I accept last season's not a brilliant example because Celtic were in transition anyway, but their first qualifier against Michelin, Barkas played, Stephen Welsh played, Nir Beaton played at centre back, Sorrow played, Christie and Edward played, who obviously went on to leave, and Dane Murray and Albin Ayeti came on. You know, that's in seasons gone by, that's the type of thing that you usually have to deal with in the qualifiers, but this gives you a bit more time.
It certainly is an advantage, of course it is, Gordon. It gives you more time to prepare. You know, as Roger says, it's a heavy schedule there now for players. And quite rightly said, you go into some of these qualifiers and you're expected to cruise through them, and all of a sudden you're under a little bit of pressure because you're not up to match speed. You've got new players coming in, you're trying maybe different systems, you're still working on the fitness aspect of it. So, no, I think it's, in the football sense, managers, coaches, players, absolutely brilliant. And I think Roger makes a great point there. What it does is it enables you to attract players who want to play in that stage.
Yeah, that is a fair point about recruitment as well, David, isn't it? Because there have been times in the past, you'll know them yourself, that they all roll off the tongue. All the big sort of players that Celtic have had, if you like, the ones that people are speculating, are they going to go or are they not? And you almost have to hang around until July and say, all right, Celtic either have or haven't made the Champions League. Does that mean this player is going to leave? None of that will happen this season, presumably.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, your budget will be dependent on what sort of income you're going to get for Europe. And Celtic have been guilty of playing Russian roulette with their squad because they've waited to see if they qualify before we buy the players that would probably get them through in the first place. So the fact that you know that you're in, you're able to just go for exactly what you want, and it'll help everybody.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, of course, we got the news yesterday. It's confirmed for anyone that missed it. Now, it pretty much was going to be confirmed anyway. It came about in slightly different circumstances. If it wasn't due to the fact that this stuff's far more important than football, I might have been annoyed at the way it's sort of been reported yesterday, Scotland's got into the Champions League because Russia's been banned, which is technically true, but we were going to get there anyway, so let's not let that take anything away from it.
Probably 24 hours ahead of schedule, because I don't think there's any way back for Villarreal against Liverpool tonight, and that would that was the last obstacle to Scotland's champions getting direct entry to the the group stage next season, Gordon.
So everyone knows where they stand. What about those reports today, David? I don't know if you've seen this. So reports in Portugal suggesting Jota's told Benfica he wants to join Celtic on a permanent basis. As you know, 12 goals this season, key player, reportedly a purchase option of around £6.5 million in the loan agreement. How pleasing is that news if it turns out to be true?
Very. I mean, I think Jota seems, if you listen to him talking, that he's got old head and young shoulders. He's pretty, you know what I mean, he's represented well. So I think he realises that, you know what I mean, signing for Celtic and getting exposure in the Champions League is a good footing to move on to the next level. So I think that'll be a good move for everybody all round. Probably the same with Carter Vickers as well. Do you know what I mean? I think we need to get these two guys signed up. But you know what I mean, the next type of player that you can go and buy, I've seen them linked with Solbakken, and I mean, 1.8 million for him, that would be a great bit of business. I think we should sign him irrespective of whether Jota signs or not, and then just everybody that you're going to sign, if you're in the Champions League, it's definitely a carrot that will attract better players.
Yeah, so Roger,
let's hope it happens.
Yeah, Roger, you're the hack in the room, the Jornal de Noticias, or however you pronounce it. Are they right on this occasion? Are you familiar with their work? That's where these stories have come from.
Well,
today,
listen, what I am familiar with is Jota's form and the way he's a very intelligent young man. He looks after him. All footballers nowadays look after themselves. No disrespect, Daz, maybe a wee bit better than you did in your day.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Jota is extremely switched on in terms of looking after himself, his diet, his nutrition. He's extremely switched on in terms of where he believes his career can go. And I think there's going to be a big decision for Jota, because Celtic will undoubtedly be keen to keep him, and Celtic now have the finance to keep him. So it might come down to whether the lad wants to stay in Scotland for a longer period of time, or whether he thinks his career would be better served going elsewhere. It is interesting that the Portuguese press are saying he would be keen to stay.
You don't sound as convinced.
I'm not as convinced, and I'll tell you why. Because sometimes I've seen stories like this back in other homelands, and it's maybe just designed to smoke out other interest. Would it be mad to think that an English Premier League team would be interested in taking Jota? And that might be more attractive to Jota. But my understanding is he's liking his time at Celtic, and he wouldn't be averse to extending it. But I don't think it's quite as simple as...
In my opinion, I think Celtic need to try and get this over the line as quick as possible.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm going to say, Gordon, is I think this guy will only get better next season. This is his first season. He's chipped in so far with 12 goals. He's been excellent. He's been a terrific signing. Fans' favourite. He's come over to a new country, new style of football, new club, the expectations at Celtic week in, week out. And I just think, as a young player who's had a year under his belt, gets the pre-season next season, Celtic had a little bit more quality in that squad, I think he could be anything next year.
Listen, I agree. David mentioned Solbakken up at Bodø/Glimt in Norway. If I was Celtic, and I know they've got a new head of recruitment coming into the building, if I was Celtic, the first two players I would try and sign are Jota and Cameron Carter-Vickers, because it lessens the gamble factor when you go and buy a player. You know Jota's an excellent player. You know Cameron Carter-Vickers is an excellent player. You know they can settle into Scottish football and make an impact. They'd be the first two I'd go and try and sign.
Thanks, David. 01419511025. Now, it is a big week for Rangers, so I'm sure you Rangers fans will be interested in hearing from this man. He's a familiar voice anyway, but he often joins us on the show very kindly when German football comes onto our radar. Derek Ray, how are you, Derek?
I'm well, Gordon. Looking forward to Thursday. I'm sure many people are.
Absolutely. It's going to be some week. Now, RB Leipzig have had quite the schedule. They actually played last night. Derek, tell us a little bit about that. It didn't quite go to plan for them.
It didn't go to plan at all. It was another ordinary performance by Leipzig. They lost 3-1 away to Borussia Mönchengladbach, even though they had the numerical advantage for a good chunk of the second half. And this has been the recurring theme. The performances have just dropped off a little bit. They, of course, struggled against Union, lost that game in the league, and now they've lost this one. And it's had the effect of putting them under real pressure, because most people took for granted that they would, when all was said and done, get a Champions League place through their league position. That is now in doubt, with Freiburg, team from the southwest, ahead of them, an unfashionable club. Leipzig, who have greater resources, greater riches, now really having to go full pelt until the end of the season on three fronts, because remember, they're in the German Cup final against Freiburg on the 21st of May. They've yet to win a major piece of silverware, so it could come in the Europa League, it could come in the German Cup, but at the same time, they are up against it in terms of trying to make it into the Champions League. So in a sense, yeah, obviously the Rangers game is crucial from their point of view, but they're thinking about a lot of footballing things at the same time, and that can't be easy.
And did they go strong last night, Derek? It's interesting, you know, we had our own debate about fixtures and trying to give Rangers as much preparation time as possible. It's been the opposite for Leipzig anyway, but it seemed like a strong team. It wasn't like they took their eye off the ball last night, was it?
No, it was a very strong team. In fact, they brought back the players. You'll remember that the first leg in Leipzig against Rangers, they had Willy Orban, Mohamed Simakon, Kevin Kamper all suspended. Well, they came back for this game, and if you were to assess the starting 11 that Domenico Tedesco put out, it's not far short of their best 11. Now, they have a very deep squad. They are able to rotate more efficiently than most teams in Europe, but this was a good team that they put out, but they simply didn't deliver. And Willy Orban actually described some of their play as, he used the word, juvenile in the second half. He wasn't happy at all with certain elements of their play. So if you look at the form curve, it's not great for Leipzig at the moment. They are under pressure, and you know, all these games in a hurry certainly can't help. But Rangers maybe can look at that and think, OK, there's a chance.
Derek, it's Roger Hannah. How are you?
Roger. Good to hear you.
I was just going to ask, Eintracht Frankfurt in the other semi-final against West Ham, it seems strange, the two Bundesliga sides seem to reserve their better form in the Europa League for the away games. You know, you look at RB Leipzig in the quarterfinals, stuffy at home to Atalanta, go to Italy and win comfortably. Frankfurt, stuffy at home to Barcelona and then score three in the Nou Camp. They then go on and get a win at the London Stadium against West Ham. Are Rangers fans, should they be worried about Leipzig's performances being better away from home than they were at home?
Maybe a little bit, Roger. I think certainly that was the case. You think about the Atalanta game for Leipzig, you know, they had it all to do there. I think this possibly comes down to the style of football in the Bundesliga, which is very much counter-pressing. It's winning the ball and then quickly trying to launch attacks. And I think that is a feature of Bundesliga football, the Umschaltspiel, as it's referred to in Germany. And we'll see if that works out for Leipzig in this game. I've spoken to a few Rangers fans this week who've said, yeah, the atmosphere might intimidate them. I don't know that it will intimidate them. It will probably inspire them. You think back to Borussia Dortmund, that first half at Ibrox, they actually played, I thought, pretty inspired football, to credit to Rangers, that in the second half they came out and I think played their best football in that half when the first half went Dortmund's way. So, I mean, I think that 1-0 going into the second leg, I'm not sure that Leipzig are disappointed with that. I think they may have settled for that before a ball was kicked in the first match. But they can play away from home, they can play on the big stage, and they certainly can play in front of a capacity crowd. In fact, most German teams, and Leipzig have done this as well, they, you know, enjoy, they relish the chance to play at a venue like Ibrox in front of a full house, knowing that maybe it's something you do only once in your career.
If you were in the Rangers camp, Derek, would you take confidence from the fact that Leipzig don't seem to be in brilliant form, or in a strange roundabout way, does this make them, you know, more focused, more committed to winning the Europa League because their Champions League place domestically is, you know, in danger?
I think it gives Rangers hope on one level, but I think on another level, I've used this expression before, Leipzig don't have too many accidents in them. And they had their accident on Monday against Gladbach. Now, yeah, they lost to Union. They weren't great in the cup semi-final also against Union. They needed all their time to win that. And I thought against Rangers, actually, it was one of the poorer performances I've seen from Leipzig. It was quite one-paced. It was lacking in dynamism. And they didn't have too many answers in terms of breaking down a very deep-lying Rangers in that first leg. But I think that Rangers can look at that and go, yeah, you know, there is a chance, but this is a very competent group of players that Leipzig have, and they're not Dortmund in the sense that they don't do meltdowns too often. You know, with Dortmund, it can be brilliant one week, it can be terrible the next, and Rangers caught them on a night when they were terrible and took advantage of their chances in that first leg. I don't think of Leipzig as that sort of team. They are a possession team. I think they will expect to still hold on to the ball for long periods. I'm not sure it'll be that different from what we saw in the first leg. I don't know what you guys think, but I have a feeling that it may well be Leipzig with a lot of the ball. Can they penetrate? Rangers sitting in and relying on counters and relying on set pieces, just having that extra advantage with the 12th man, the crowd factor at Ibrox.
What was the reaction in Germany to that first leg, Derek? I feel like most of the Rangers fans who get in touch with us, you know, would take that result and feel like, you know, another 90 minutes and can certainly cause the upset and get through. Were the locals satisfied with the level of performance? Are they fully confident that that just continues in the second leg?
I don't think fully satisfied with the performance. I think with the result, yes. I think 1-0 certainly was acceptable. But, of course, it came down to a moment of sheer individual quality from Angelino. And that's sort of where they are at the moment, Leipzig. You know, that cup semi-final against Union that I mentioned, that was a moment of quality from Forsberg with a header late in the game. And they do have these individuals who can do that. But it does become a bit worrying if it is all about that. It is all about somebody having to produce that moment of magic for them. And of course Nkunku can do it. Christopher Nkunku is a, you know, a tier one player in world football nowadays. He had that unfortunate miss in the first leg against Rangers. So I think they feel the platform is in place, but there are no guarantees. And there certainly is respect for Rangers, and I think more respect after what happened against Dortmund, the fact that they can do that. And the word you keep hearing is collective, unified. You know, Rangers are not going to come unstuck because of a lack of unity within their ranks. So I think they know that Leipzig need to be on it. I think the feeling in Germany is that if it goes according to ability, Leipzig and not Rangers will make it to the final. But we know it doesn't always come down to individual ability or even the ability of a team. And, you know, we're spoken about Frankfurt. You know, they probably by right shouldn't be going to the final either, but they are actually on course to do it, and they embody all those qualities of unity and the collective and excellent tactics under Oliver Glasner. So I think the feeling in Germany is, yes, there's a really good chance of this being an old German final, which would be shades of 1980 in the UEFA Cup. And we'll see if Leipzig can do it. But I think Rangers are in with a real chance. I said before the first leg, I thought this would be close either way, with Leipzig slight favourites. I don't think I've changed my opinion.
Brilliant, Derek Ray. We know you're a busy man. We really appreciate you taking time. Thanks again.
Thanks, Gordon.
Good man. That was Derek Ray giving you the inside track on RB Leipzig. Played last night, so on a scheduling front, you'd have to imagine that suits you Rangers fans. It didn't go well either. Does that give you hope, or are they the wounded animal, as the old cliche goes? Let us know. 01419511025, and we'll speak to you next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. If you're just joining us, I've got no idea where you've been, but you've missed a bit of a preview to Rangers against Leipzig on Thursday. So get your thoughts ahead of that one in, please. Celtic fans, reports in Portugal today suggesting Jota on a permanent basis is getting closer. What do you make of that? That must fill you with some optimism, even though the old pessimist Roger Hanna is not quite as convinced. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you right now. There is a massive game just about to kick off. Huge. Partick Thistle against Inverness. I said it last night, Roger, we are very quick to point out what's wrong with our game, and there are quite a few things at times, but the introduction of the playoffs a few years ago has been a godsend. So tonight, Partick Thistle, Inverness, one of them could be in our top flight next season.
Listen, whatever you say about Scottish football, and I am a great critic on this show, as you know, of some of the things in Scottish football, the way the league is now structured is fantastic. The top six, the Premiership, the bottom six, the Premiership, and the playoffs in the lower league, right down to the pyramid, right down to Bonnyrigg Rose having the chance to come into League Two when they take on Cowdenbeath over the next couple of weekends. So the playoffs at the top of the Championship are one of the great initiatives in Scottish football in the last few years. We can show a bit of bias for once in this show, Gordon. It is a show for Glasgow in the West. We'd love to see Partick Thistle win over these couple of games against Inverness Cali Thistle.
Just so you don't need to go to Inverness next season.
You know, Dave Galloway likes to monopolise the North. That's not, neither here nor there.
Dave Galloway lives about as far away from Inverness as you do. You're just falling into that trap of thinking anything north of Cumbernauld is all linked.
Two things though that play into Dave's hands. One, he's far more enthusiastic than me.
That's true.
And two, there's a wimpy near Inverness.
And Dingwall, that is also true.
Game changer, that.
Right, go on then. A little bit of local bias to the Jags. Well, the Glasgow Jags.
Ian McCall's done a good job there. You know, you have to remember, it's only a year ago they were promoted out of League One. They've been up there in the top four for the vast majority of the season. They've actually had a little wobble in the last few weeks. I didn't think they were great when Ian was off in the sick on Friday night and they lost to Ayr United. But in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. All that matters now are these playoff games against Inverness, the chance to take on Arbroath in the semi-final, and maybe even the chance to take on the Premiership's 11th team in the final.
Well, they can't have been good on Friday, because it ended up with Richard Foster having a square goal with a fan.
Yeah.
So that probably suggests that it didn't go very well. But they're in there, Gordon. And what an incentive these playoffs give you.
But it's very difficult, Gordon, because you're looking at the three
especially
teams.
These two tonight, because this is the first step.
That'll be a very difficult. By Friday night, we'll know who is, you know, has come out on top to take on Arbroath, which is going to be another very, very difficult game indeed, because of the season that Arbroath's had, and obviously the job that Dick Campbell's doing up there has been absolutely fantastic. And then on top of that, if you get through all these games, then you've got the big one against, let's be honest, it's going to be St Johnstone, unless there's a massive, massive turnaround. So still a lot of football to be played, but look, you've got to give yourself an opportunity, you've got to give yourself a chance. Partick, Inverness and Arbroath just now have got that chance to take on St Johnstone to get into the top flight.
Yeah, Partick Thistle go with Sneddon in goal. They've got Holt Tiffany, who's one of the nominees for Championship Player of the Year, Scott Tiffany. Guys that have done it in the top flight: Stuart Bannigan, Brian Graham, Alex Jakubiak, McKenna's in there, Akinola, Robbie Crawford, Ross Docherty and Hendry as well for Partick Thistle. For Inverness, Ridgers, Welsh, Diaz, Dees, Devine, Carson, Mackay, Sutherland, Walsh, Broadfoot, Chalmers and McAleer, Rogers. So those are the two teams this evening. How do you see it going?
Listen, in terms of form, Cali Thistle are the form team. But you go into the playoffs, I'm not too sure whether form really counts for too much, because you know, particularly Cali Thistle and Partick Thistle were both cemented in those playoffs for me a few weeks ago. They've chopped and changed lineups. Form has dipped at times, especially for Partick, but it's all been geared towards these two games. I think the pitch at Firhill could play a part in this. It might even play a part tomorrow night as well, when Queen's Park have got to play the Inverness in the Championship promotion playoff. But for this one, very difficult. I think it will still be in the balance on Friday night when Partick go up the road to the Canley Stadium.
And you look back in the short history of this version of the playoff, Roger, so many stories that have come out of them. I think topping Hamilton Accies, being 2-0 down at home to Hibs and then going to Easter Road and winning in penalties, that's always going to be tough to beat. That was unbelievable. That was the first year, wasn't it, when we brought it back?
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
I think everyone knows the drama that was attached to Rangers, which was inconceivable at the time, failing to get up and Motherwell being the beneficiaries on that occasion. You look at the other teams that have caused the upset, the other Premiership sides that have managed to survive.
Even last season, I was convinced Kilmarnock would have enough to get past Dundee 12 months ago.
Absolutely.
And they lost home and away. So nothing's ever really set in stone. You can never guarantee anything when you go into these games.
All right, we'll leave it there, because it is that time of the night already. It's been a quick start to the show.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, it is. Beat the Pundit time. Roger Hanna and Gordon Diehl are here. If you want to take them on, now is the time to phone. It's 01419511025. And Hugh Keevans even won last night, so that tells you that the listeners are not off to a good start this week if Keevan's got a victory on the board.
He wasn't. I spoke to him on Sunday night. He was in training on Sunday night.
He went home early purely for that, apparently.
Yeah, just to get himself right.
A couple of tins of cold beans during the day just to get the energy levels up.
Yeah, we always know what Hugh's had. But it was a good victory for Hugh last night. And
are you feeling in good form?
No, I was in good form until Thursday. I lost on Thursday. Remember, so I had the boy was a bit lucky.
Was that when you thought Calcio was Japanese rather than Italian?
Yeah, well, I went down the Japanese route. I ain't going to Japanese tonight, let me tell you. I don't care if the answer's Japanese, I ain't going there.
Is that why? Are you feeling the pressure? Is that why you were up for 4 hours in the middle of the night?
No. I was up studying Roger, but my track records up and down. Roger's not even got a track record.
You sound a bit like that Tory MP. Were you looking for programmes about track?
Oh, that's plenty. Let's move on. 01419511025. You need to call before 7 o'clock and your chance to beat the pundits next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Diehl are here. It's 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Rangers fans, let's hear from you ahead of Thursday. We've had some nice tributes after the sad passing of Jimmy Bell. Also, Celtic fans, Jota, according to reports in Portugal, is going to become a Celtic player on a permanent deal. What do you make of those reports today? Partick Thistle against Inverness in the playoffs is about to kick off, and that's not the only big match tonight.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, come on, Beat the Pundit time. Let's bring in tonight's contestant, who's Ewan in Greenock. How's it going, Ewan?
Not bad, mate, not bad.
Now, you are a Morton fan, Ewan, so you're our championship correspondent. Who's going to win out of these two tonight? Who's the better side?
Inverness, surely, after they beat us last week.
There we are. I can see the logic in that, Roger Hanna.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot to be said. I think it'll go to Friday. I think it'll go deep into Friday's game. I don't think there's much between the two sides at all. The pitch, actually, we're now seeing television pictures coming in from Firth Hill. The pitch looks a bit better than it was the last time I saw it, and the Thistle team looks a bit stronger as well. The sort of big hitters that missed out on Friday, all back in. Tiffany, Graham, Bannigan, Holt, they're all back in to start.
See, these two are selfish, Ewan, quite frankly. And when they're working, they want to go to the closest ground possible. But I know as a fan, sometimes the longer the away day is, the better. Does that mean you're fancying Inverness to come back up?
No.
Or you want to keep them in the championship, I should say.
No chance.
Well, never mind, you're like these two. Home comforts, up the road for 5 o'clock.
You're a wise man, Ewan.
Right, let's see who you're playing tonight. You're going to be heads, Roger Hanna, which it doesn't happen often on a Tuesday.
He's never played.
And tails is Gordon DL, so let's see what we can do. What a toss that was, nearly hit the ceiling.
Biggie.
It's genuinely his tails again. Get it on the camera, I don't care, there are cameras in here. I can't be accused. Do you believe me? Do you want to toss the coin next week then?
No,
it is Tuesday. Because last night,
you don't deal with cash, do you?
No, not now. $2.60 last night for cash.
It was heads and you plays. It's just when you're in on a Tuesday. It's always anyway. You know, be delighted.
You know, be over.
Let's be honest. Right, I'm going to give Gordon DL some Clyde 2 to listen to, so that he can't hear us anymore. You in 30 seconds. Just answer the questions, and if you don't know, pass and move on. Okay.
Alright, okay.
Good man, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Name the most recent player to score in Europe for Rangers.
Tavernier.
Which club does former Celtic striker Moussa Dembélé play for?
Lyon.
Which Hibs player just signed in January is linked with a move to Chicago Fire today?
Pass.
Name any goalkeeper who played for Ross County this season.
Pass.
Which town do Albion Rovers play their home games in?
Pass.
John McGlynn is poised to become manager of which SPFL club?
Falkirk.
Okay, let's bring Gordon back. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can, Gordon.
30 seconds, are you ready?
Go.
Right, same set of questions, your time starts now. Who was the most recent player to score for Rangers in Europe?
Kent.
Which club does former Celtic striker Moussa Dembélé play for?
PSG.
Which Hibs player just signed in January is linked with a move to Chicago Fire today?
Miller.
Name either goalkeeper who's featured for Ross County this season.
Oh, pass.
Which town do Albion Rovers play their home Cobra games in? John McGlynn is poised to become Falcon manager of which SPFL club? Who was the last man to win PFA Scotland's Manager of the Year who did not manage either Old Firm team?
Steve Clark.
What do you think, Ewan?
He's definitely done me. He'll be giving me pelters in a minute.
Oh, no,
don't
Ewan.
Say that. Don't say that.
Honestly, but if I have done you, hang up.
Tell you what, the most recent player to score in Europe for Rangers was
Kemar Roof.
All right, okay.
It's
really
not a great
care.
Start. None of you got that. He did not. Ewan did know that Moussa Dembele plays for Lyon and not PSG.
Right, okay.
So it's 1-0 to Ewan.
All right, okay.
I'm impressed with you here, I must admit. I didn't think you'd get this. Chris Muller just signed in January with high hopes and all the rest of it, linked with a move to Chicago Fire.
I think we'll call that 1-1, Ewan, eh?
That maybe says quite a lot about the way Hibs are going at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think the Hibs fans saw the Chris Muller that played with Orlando City. Hold on. Sort of Muller light this.
Hold on a minute.
Stop it.
Are you still there, Chris?
Did he take any corners, etc, etc?
Are you still there, Chris?
His name's Ewan.
Oh, Ewan.
Chris.
I'm Chris.
I'm looking Chris through there. Oh, sorry. Are you still there, Ewan? Yes.
It's only one each. Calm down.
He's done.
And you didn't know any of the Ross County goalkeepers, Ross Laidlaw or Ashley Maynard Brewer.
But I wasn't going to waste time.
So you're very confident for a man who's won all after four questions.
Yeah, I go in a roll here. I'm right in. Boom, boom.
Albion Rovers playing Cope Bridge.
No, tell me he got that.
He didn't get that.
Yeah, you need to brush up your geography.
You're one up. He doesn't. He concerns himself with Championship and above.
Okay.
This guy. John McGlynn is poised to become Falkirk manager. You both got that.
Oh, nice.
So Gordon leads by one. Who was the last man to win PFA Scotland's Manager of the Year who didn't manage either Old Firm team? It is Stevie Clark.
Boom.
Gordon Dale got it.
Boom, Ewan.
Boom. Ewan didn't get to that question.
Ah, Ewan.
Ewan, hard lines, my friend. You did well.
I should have been up researching like him last night.
That's Ewan, one word for it, Ewan.
Uh-huh. Ewan, I'm not going to give you a hard time, mate, but don't phone back because you're no very good.
At least I'm going to get a zero.
Every cloud. Well done, Ewan. Thanks for taking part.
Ewan.
That was Ewan from Greenock.
You can just tell when people come on the phone. See, when he came on it earlier, I thought, oh, this is easy.
I don't know. I think a win's a win, but I don't think you were good enough to be swaggering around.
Four.
I know, but look at some of the ones you got wrong.
I'm not looking at the negatives.
Sorry, is it just me that noticed he said four and held up five fingers?
I'm looking at the positives here.
Moussa Dembele for PSG.
I don't know why I said that, because I knew it was Leon. But I was trying to give Ewan a bit of hope. Look, sometimes you've got to encourage the people because we want them
to phone
back.
Oh, you try to lull them into a false sense.
Yeah,
hold on. You want them to phone back, but you do nothing but slaughter them if they lose.
Oh, look, they all come on, right? He's sitting there. He's probably, his family's round the table. He's punching there when he goes tails, going, I've no got Hannah minus one, I've got DL. Bang. See you later.
Anyway.
Up the road, family all the way home now. Big night ruined.
Right, 01419511025. James in Port Glasgow, we were just about to get you on and you've disappeared, so give us a call back if you're listening, James. Quickly before we speak to William, anything doing in the first 5 minutes at Firhill?
Inverness have started brightly. Shane Sutherland with a shot across the face of goal just past Jamie Sneddon's far post. This is the first party given any real spell of possession 5 minutes in. First time they've been in Inverness half.
Good stuff, good start to the game. We'll keep an eye on it. Pick up the phone though and let us know what's on your mind tonight. Let's bring in William, who's a Rangers fan. What's your point, William?
Hello, Gordon and Roger.
Hi, William.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to pay my condolences to Jimmy Bell and his family, if that's okay.
Absolutely. What did he mean to you as a Rangers fan, William? We've been speaking about this in the sense that it sort of speaks for itself that everybody knows who the Rangers kit man is.
Well, I'm 52, Gordon, right? So I've known him for the late 80s he joined with Graham Souness.
Yep.
He's just been synonymous. When he's on the touchline, he's putting the boards up. He's always in the Rangers videos or films. He's in the dressing room. He's got the cat and all that. And he's just been there forever, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, listen, I think you speak for a lot of Rangers supporters over the last 30 or 40 years, William. You know, you're saying you're 52. You would only be a teenager when Jimmy Bell came to the club. And a lot of Rangers fans don't recall a Rangers without Jimmy Bell.
Yeah, it certainly has been a long and a very up up and down era when you think about that, Roger. I mean,
yeah, and listen,
some of the things he's seen over that time and been a constant throughout.
Yeah, and the Rangers chairman Douglas Park sort of touched upon that in his message earlier on today. He knew Jimmy. Jimmy worked for Parks of Hamilton before he came to Rangers. I think Douglas Park's known him for, you know.
Did he start as a bus driver? Is that am I correct now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Douglas Park's known him for 40 years and said he's been involved in some of the Rangers' greatest days and involved witnessing some of the Rangers' darkest days. He's was a constant, as you say, for more than 35 years at the football club, and it'll be an enormous void that he leaves at the football club.
What else is on your mind tonight, William?
Rangers squad and Morelos in particular, and for Thursday I really like pay attention to the squad, because on Sunday night we overpowered Celtic right in the second half with Balogun suspended, Hellander injured, Jack rested, Ramsey injured, Roof injured, Morelos injured and Hadji injured. No, I mean that's destined to our squad. Plus the fact I want to get Rogers taking this Morelos right. I think Celtic deserve to win the league, right, been the best team. But I think they've been very lucky only to face Morelos only once this year. They've been quite lucky because he's Rangers' premier player. I just want to get Roger and Gordon's boys on that, please.
This is the beauty of it. I can almost hear the Celtic fan saying he doesn't have a great record against us anyway. But if you're a Rangers fan, you'd be saying the exact same thing as
if
William.
If you're a Rangers fan, William's right. He's a Rangers number one, number nine, if you like. So if any side loses their top goal scorer, their main striker, it's going to be a setback for them. I tend to think the real reason Rangers have lost ground is that run of away games when they dropped so many points at Dingwall and at Pittodrie and at Tannadice. That's ultimately what's cost Rangers this season. But of course, you know, you look at the absentees William's talking about at the business end of the season. It's actually credit to Giovanni van Bronckhorst and the other players that they're in a Scottish Cup final. They're in a Europa League semi-final second leg, despite only absentees.
Yeah, I agree with Roger. I think that if you lose your top centre forward, and let's not be kidding, he is the top centre forward at Ibrox. It's just, he makes Rangers play up the top of the pitch. Gordon, he's absolutely brilliant. I'm not saying here that Morelos playing against any team guarantees you a win. It'll certainly help you. There's no doubt about that. Celtic fans on the other side will be arguing, well, we've missed many top players throughout the season. Rangers have got a massive squad. Celtic have got a massive squad. I don't sit here, if you go and speak to Motherwell and Dundee United, they'll not feel sorry for Rangers or Celtic because they lose decent players. They've got that many. You look at the bench, they look at the, you know, the, as William said there, look at the fact that they've missed so many of these big players. They're still in a semi-final and still in a Scottish Cup final. So as much as Morelos has been massive, and where it really hurts, I think, is probably if you're ever wanting Morelos in the team, it'd be Thursday night. I just think he makes Rangers play so differently going forward. They'll go on the front foot. I listened to Derek Ray there talking about Rangers might just, you know, sit in and try and hit the counter attack. I disagree with that. I think Rangers, with that crowd behind them, will be on the front foot. I think they'll be right at them to try and cause them problems.
What do you think, William? Thursday night, is that when it's the biggest loss, if you like? Because you're right. I mean, obviously, it's easy to get sucked into only focusing on the head-to-heads, but across a season loads of teams need to deal with important players missing. But is it on these big nights you're going to notice it more?
Yeah, absolutely, Gordon. But as I've said all the way through the season, I've just got a strong belief that Rangers are going to do this. Everybody just says that after round, that's it, they're not going to get by this. They just seem, and especially on our Thursdays with that crowd, and I'd agree with Gordon and Roger, I think Rangers are going to take the game to Leipzig, definitely, because Rangers can play some decent football in Europe, Gordon, you know what I mean? I've just got a feeling it's going to be Rangers v Frankfurt. There you go.
It's going to be really fascinating, Roger, because it was the most, I was going to say passive, that's not right, that's too negative, but you know, it was the most we've ever seen Rangers set off anyone in Europe.
It actually took me back a little bit to the run to 2008 final in Manchester, where it was based on defensive solidity, organisation of the team, defensive diligence, a discipline about the team. I thought they performed really well. I thought they were going to get out of Germany with a 0-0 last week, which would have been a terrific result. I don't think 1-0 is a dreadful result, particularly this season when away goals aren't a factor anymore. You know, in previous seasons, 1-0 away from home, you think, well, if Leipzig come to Ibrox and nick one, Rangers need to score three. That's not the case anymore. Rangers know what they need to do. A win in 90 minutes of any shape or form guarantees a minimum of extra time. And you saw how that went against Braga.
But this is why semi-final stage of any competition is so tense, because there's going to be a balance there. William, you two think, you know, take the game early on, and Leipzig might just think, great, open up early on, we'll score early, yeah. And then that'll be the tie done.
Yeah, but I think there've been a game plan all along for this game, Gordon. He changed his tactics massively in Europe last Thursday. He sat everyone in, they looked disciplined, they went with the five at the back. You don't see Rangers doing that a lot, went with the five at the back.
Think they'll do that again?
No, I think they'll go back to the back four, and I think they'll get their two full-backs very high up the pitch. I think Rangers will go for this, I really do. The only problem is, it's okay us sitting here saying, well, Rangers need to be on the front foot, need to go for it. You need to get the ball first, and when you get the ball, don't give the ball away cheaply, because you're playing against a quality side. I would love nothing better if it was Rangers, Celtic, Mar, Scotland for me. I want the Scottish clubs to go through the final. So it's not because I had association with Rangers long ago. But let me say, I just think this has got to be a real difficult game. Took a little bit of heart when I woke up this morning, read about them, you know, get beat with 10 men, played their full strength team. So important Rangers get the first goal for me.
William, having heard that Leipzig not only played last night a couple of days before the game, but lost and weren't great again, does that fill you with confidence? Does it do anything for your belief?
As Gordon says, they're Germans, right? They're crack out with us. No, I mean, they play in a far superior league to us, right? I'm not underestimating them in any way, but it does give you a wee bit of hope that they could beat up a 10 men. Surely, if Rangers are going to get chances on Thursday, it's just if they can take them. That's the most important.
I'm really fascinated, Roger. You'll never know for sure exactly what impact, but we spent, you know, a few hours on here really debating, and Scottish football needs to do more. We need to move fixtures. It's a disgrace if we don't. I find it amazing that Leipzig played last night and play on Thursday.
Yeah, they maybe look at it differently in the Bundesliga than we do here, but I think it's important, if we can take a step back for a minute, this is a momentous achievement from Rangers to get a Scottish club into a major European semi-final. It hasn't happened for 14 years. We don't know when it's going to happen again. So it's important for whatever 11 Giovanni Van Bronckhorst chooses, whoever he brings off the bench, that they don't leave anything on that pitch. I agree with Daz. I disagree with Derek Ray. I don't think this Rangers team will sit back. I don't think Ibrox would allow this Rangers team to sit back. I think they will need to rouse themselves and produce a performance on a par with Braga at home, on a par with Dortmund away. We know they're capable of doing it, and if this team can get to a major European final, it would be a fantastic achievement.
Like, David Gibson sent me a tweet about the, you know, the emotional impact of what's happened at Rangers today on Thursday, Roger, because, look, unfortunately, you know, life goes on, tragedies happen, and football clubs often have to deal with it. But this is someone who, you know, is so closely linked to the first team that, you know, that the absence is going to be staring you in the face on match night. It's very raw. Do you think it has any impact on Thursday?
I think,
you know, for the team, for the players, the performance?
I think it's bound to, because, you know, Jimmy was, you know, the kit man, but he was more than the kit man. As Daz touched upon earlier on, he was a central figure in and around the nucleus of that Rangers squad. It will be strange, it will be unusual for those players to arrive on match day and for Jimmy not to be there. It will be odd. I think there will be emotion at Ibrox on Thursday night. I think it's something that can drive the players on. It can motivate them. And if Rangers get to the Europa League final by 10 o'clock or 10:30 or 10:45 on Thursday night, I think Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, James Tavernier and all the rest we'll dedicate it to Jimmy's memory.
Thank you, William. 01419511025. We're on Twitter as well, and it's not been lost on the listeners. PR's almost fallen off his chair. Did Gordon just say to the caller on Beat the Pundit that he needs to brush up on his geography?
Yeah.
The cheek.
You never caught that one, did you? I thought, I'll get a wee cheeky one.
Anyway, get your calls in. It's a good time to pick up that phone. You could be on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you on the phones or on Twitter. 20 minutes gone in the first leg of the Scottish Premiership playoff between Partick Thistle and Inverness. It is goalless, Roger, and not a huge deal happening.
No, not a huge deal happening. Cali Thistle have just lost Tom Walsh to injury. He was
a real blow.
Yeah, he was a two goal hero of that big win against Hamilton Accies last Friday night. A key player, Fulham Young Hides, come on to play just off the front off Billy Mackay. Partick Thistle coming more into the game. Inverness had a better start to the game, but I think Partick just about beginning to get a foothold.
It was one ropey moment, Gordon. To be fair, the Firhill pitch looks a lot better than it did. But the ball went back to Mark Ridgers, and Inverness goal. He was charged down by Brian Graham, but luckily for Billy Dodds, it didn't come to anything.
Yeah, he rode his luck a little bit. I think it's been an even 20 minutes, and I'm with Roger. I think this will be right over the two legs. It could even go into extra time, Gordon. It's that, you know, is it penalties, Roger? Sorry, does it go straight to penalties?
Yeah, on Friday night.
Yeah, I think it could go all the way this game.
Right, we are going to speak to Brian in just a second, but we've got a good teaser for you sent in by Jerry and Erskine. Thank you to Jerry. Can you name the 11 players that have played for Celtic or Rangers since 2018 and have at some point in their career played for Wigan? So since
McCulloch.
Hold on a second, will you? Let me repeat the question. Trust me, you could do with me repeating the question after that attempt. Since 2018.
All right, no McCulloch.
11 players have played for Celtic or Rangers and have also played for Wigan at some point in their career.
I'm stuck now. That was my best effort.
Yeah. Early.
James McCarthy.
Yes.
Trent Timings here. Josh Windus.
Yes.
Oh, I hit him.
Yeah, of course you did.
Just under Lee McCulloch, was it?
McCulloch again then.
Still not.
Martin Wickham.
Yes.
Oh, keep going, Roger. I'm throwing absolute. No, I'm still getting Thursday's teaser.
Trying to think of timings, but it was Joe Garner one.
No.
Yes. Thank you. We'll leave it there, because remember, it's they've played for Celtic Rangers since 2018, but they've also played for
Wigan at some stage
in their career. So,
yeah.
All right, you've got four. We'll see if we can get the rest. Let's bring in Brian, who is a Rangers fan in Alva. How's it going, Brian?
Good. Thanks, lads. How are you getting on tonight?
Yeah. Good. Thank you. Good. What's your point?
Just when you guys were talking about Morelos being the biggest missing piece from the game on Thursday night, I was actually thinking, in my opinion, it's probably Ioannis Hadji. If ever there's a guy that comes up to these big European occasions, really riding on the kind of, wants to break out of the shadow of his dad's name, I think this is the game that could have made Hadji that next level international recognition, and I feel like he's the one that's missing out the most for this squad.
I get parts of that, Roger, because, you know, you think in Braga and there have been other big European games. I suppose when people talk about Morelos, you know for a fact he's starting every one of Rangers' big games. History tells you Ioannis Hadji doesn't start every one of Rangers' big games, but he has had big moments in Europe, as Brian says.
History will also tell you that the vast majority of Ioannis Hadji's time at the clubs under Steven Gerrard, you just wonder how he would have been used by Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, whether he's Gio's type of player. I tend to think he probably would have been, and he might have seen more action under Van Bronckhorst than he did under Gerrard. You go back to the start of the season, I think he scored the first goal of the Premiership season, and he did score a lot of important goals in the title win last year. A lot of 1-0s settled by Hadji goals. He's still a young man. I think he's still got a whole lot to offer to Rangers, and I think the Rangers fans would be very keen to see him back as soon as possible.
Yeah, I can understand the caller's point of view there. I think Hadji is a creator, Gordon. He's a very talented player. But in the terms of importance, if you gave me the pick, I would certainly take Morelos on Thursday night all day. and every day. Unfortunately, Hadji, as you say, there's been big games he has come in and he's influenced it. There's no doubt. And he is a terrific talent, the boy. He's got good ability. But for Thursday night, I would probably say that Morelos will be a bigger miss than Hadji.
I think there's something about Europe in particular that was suited to him at times, Brian.
Absolutely. I mean, just the expansive range of football that he was able to play. I know under Gerrard, it was always a kind of Joe Rebo off, Hadji on. Hadji starts the following week, someone else off the bench in Arfield to replace Hadji. Mm-hmm. So it was always a kind of revolving door. I feel like under Gio, he was going to get that run of games. We were going to see that kind of freedom for him to play how he wants to play, settle the team. And I actually think he could build the team around what Hadji offers. I cannot see much of a flaw in the guy's game other than his age factor just needs a bit more time to mature. I think he'll be a huge international player if he gets the real chance to get the bull by the horns.
Yeah, and listen, he is still young. You're absolutely quite right. If he turns out to be half the player of his old man, he will be a terrific international player. And he was beginning to make an impact with the Romanian national team as well. So I think when he comes back, he will be keen not just to make up for lost time, but to actually really stamp his authority on the team for the first time. And, you know, Gordon made the point there, Morelos, you knew Morelos was always going to play. You didn't know Hadji was always going to play. When he comes back, he'll want to get to a situation where everyone knows he's always going to play.
It's interesting because there's always an unknown heading into the unknown of a summer break. You know, does someone come in and take Joe Rebo away? Or the Rangers sign another player in that type of attacking midfield? You know,
it's an interesting situation because Rangers have reached a scenario with Conor Goldson this summer where he's coming out of contract, he hasn't agreed a new contract, and he's now free to leave the club for nothing in the summer. I don't think Rangers will want to get to that situation with either Joe Aribo or Ryan Kent. So this is going to be a big summer for Ross Wilson, for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, and for the, you know, Rangers, because they will want to either secure Aribo and Kent for the medium to long term, or whether it's reluctantly or not, they might have to consider offers for them.
Brian, what about Thursday then? You want Yanis Hadji, you won't be able to get him, unfortunately. What do you make of Rangers' chances without him?
I mean, obviously, if we have the option of Kamar Roof, you're going to need to take Kamar Roof to lead the line. Just again, when you look at his statistics on paper, he does offer. Obviously, Sakala had a really important game at the weekend. I would see the option to play the two and have a really strong 4-4-2 formation and just allow the wing-backs to get high, allow your wingers to do what they need to do and support the pace of Sakala, but also the kind of poachiness of Kamar Roof and knowing how to make a situation.
What we've learned, Gordon, and I've been really fascinated by, particularly this season, the praise in, you know, in different ways, because it looks like Ange Postecoglou will win the league, and that's a pretty good achievement, in case you hadn't noticed, by playing one way and one way only and being true to it and trying to make that plan better. There were times when Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has been criticised tactically, but he's now been praised for the flexibility to be, you know, doing, you know, three at the back at times and adapting. Brian's come up with another plan on Thursday. So of the two managers, he's certainly the most likely to sort of change his formation. That doesn't always make it, you know, it shows there's no right answer, because again, times when Ange Postecoglou has been criticised, oh, apparently there's no plan B, but he wins the league out of it.
Yeah,
we expect.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a 4-4-2. I don't think that's in his makeup, Gordon. It'll be interesting. The big question: will he stick to that five at the back, three with the two wing backs? I don't think at home. I think that was a game plan away from home in Germany to keep the tie alive. He succeeded. I think he'll go more on the front foot. I think he'll get back to his original back four. He'll probably sit with the two sitting midfielders, Lundstrom and Jack. Kent will play off the left. He'll have Aribo off the right. And then you're looking at, is Roof fit? We'll go through the middle. Who plays in just behind, or who plays off the right hand side? You've got Arfield, you've got Kamara there. Is Ramsey fit enough to come in to that? So I think nine of the players pick their self. And I do think it'll be a back four with the two, three, and then the one up top.
How exciting is it, Brian, to be that 90 minutes away? As Roger says, if you want to simplify it and boil it down, Rangers win the game. That's all they need to do, win the game. And at a minimum, you're into extra time and penalties for a chance to be in a European final. How does that feel with a couple of days out?
Obviously, only we could go through the season that we've had and still have that potential carrot with the business end of the season, the swing of 12 points, the injuries that's been picked up, everything, to have that carrot still dangling is really quite interesting as a fan. Because when I was younger, 2008, I was too young to understand the mechanics of how we got there and how everything built up to that point and how much it meant. It didn't really dawn on me at that age. And to be able to see it now, to see the transition, to see everything that's gone on since then, I just feel like it's the ultimate typical scenario, the sod's law, that you're left with probably the least possible chance of getting it done with that dangling there in front of you.
Yeah, it's interesting Brian talks about that kind of the challenge to get there, Roger. It seems a long time ago. This was, of the last couple of seasons, this was maybe Rangers' least convincing group stage performance in the Europa League.
Yeah.
And they've sort of got better and better and grown as the competition's gone on, with a change of manager that happened, you know, sort of midway through that.
Yeah, and I think Giovanni Van Bronckhorst touching that himself earlier. And I think his first Ibrox game was the Sparta Prague game. And Rangers really needed a win that night to successfully navigate a path through the groups. They got there in the end, and they've really gone from strength to strength in the knockout phase. You know, starting with Dortmund, Red Star Belgrade wasn't easy. Braga certainly wasn't easy, losing the first leg. They've lost the first leg again, but they'll take confidence from the way they overturned it at Ibrox against Braga. I know Daz disagrees. I don't think Leipzig at the minute, in the form they're in, are a whole heap better than that Braga team. Rangers have a chance, Gordon. That's all you can ask for.
Thanks, Brian. Hopefully we'll do that again sometime.
Awesome, thanks very much, guys.
Good man, Brian and Alva. Let's go swiftly on to James in Port Glasgow. What's your point, James?
Good evening, guys. My condolences to the family of Jimmy Bell straight away.
Thank you, James.
I'm a Celtic man. I've got a query for you boys, and I don't know the answer to it. What I'm going to say, I could be wrong. If Celtic and Rangers both qualify for the Champions League this year, which they've both got a good chance of doing, are you aware, what I've been told is the format is different this year. Instead of playing every fortnight, you play every week for the first 6 weeks because of the World Cup in Qatar, which means that Celtic and Rangers would play a minimum of 12 games in 6 weeks. Am I wrong?
It's not.
The other weird point I'd like to add to it is, if I'm right and that happens, now I'll give you a wee silly scenario. Celtic are playing Manchester City on a Tuesday night. Rangers are playing Atletico Madrid on a Wednesday. And there's a Celtic Hearts game at Tynecastle on a Saturday, or Aberdeen Rangers. Well, you know what Sky does? They want to change it so it gets made on a Sunday. Could that happen?
Now, there's a lot to get through. Start with the first point, Roger. It can't be 12 games in 6 weeks.
I don't think...
Unless James is talking about both teams combined.
Listen, James is half right. It is compressed, the format, the scheduling, compared to what it would normally be, because you know yourself, Gordon, the games would go from early September to early December. You don't have that luxury. The World Cup starts in November, so the games are compressed. I don't think it's 6 and 6 weeks, but I think it could be something like 6 and 9 weeks, to be perfectly honest, something like that.
Yeah, I have it here now. So group stage match day one is the 6th and 7th of September.
Yeah.
And then James is right, it sort of goes... Well, no, it doesn't go every week.
No.
So you play the 6th of September, then the 13th.
Yeah.
So that and then you go from the 4th of October to the 11th, and then the 25th of October to the 1st of November.
Yeah, but part of that, if you look at the scheduling, that's actually the midweeks where you don't have games there are the internationals. Remember, there's Nations League games, etc. in September. So the players... You know, the teams may not play 12 times in 6 weeks, as James says. The majority of players will play 12 times in 6 weeks. Yeah.
But in terms of fixture, you know, congestion or whatever, Gordon, it seems doable. So we're going early September to early November. 2 months for 6 match days. It's It's going to be busy.
It's going to be busy, but you're not going to complain if you're in the group stages, Gordon. And the supporters will certainly not complain going and watching the games and the excitement of the teams and the quality of the teams. That's just the way modern day football is now. You look at up and down the country, you look down at England and Liverpool, Man City's, because they're successful, the amount of games they play is incredible. It's just that's why Celtic Rangers have the bigger squads to try and deal with that situation.
Does that make you feel any better about it, James?
Well, I just read somewhere, guys, maybe I picked it up wrong. I thought you'd be playing 6 Premier League games and 6 Champions League games.
Ah, right, so you were adding in the Premier League games as well. Right, my apologies. I get that.
I thought that's the way it came across. Mm. I thought, Quid, that's a hell of a lot of games. Mm. In 26 weeks, but also...
Mm. No, that would be right, to be fair. I picked you up wrong, because there would be weekend games in there. It's a difficult one, Roger. That is a lot of games. But it's also 2 a week, which is fairly standard for teams who are playing European football.
And listen, I think it was Scott, the first caller, David, the second caller, talking about the teams that qualify direct for the Champions League will get a longer summer. Their season won't kick off to the 5th of August. So it is swings and roundabouts. The players, for once, are likely to get a longer break in the summer. They will then get a break, unless they're playing at the World Cup finals, they will get that break in November, December. The downside is the games will be compressed from the start of August until the break for the World Cup in November. Mm-hmm. And I think most players will accept they're going to have to play 2 games a week.
Yeah, you're right, because we now don't have that load of the early season qualifiers. I'm sure I read somewhere today, you know, Joe Aribo is on course to be the most played player in world football. Was it not Callum McGregor a couple of years ago?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's always our 2 big teams, because they tend to start early in Europe but get in, go deep in the group stages, go deep in our domestic cups, and they play internationally, don't they?
That's always a way of it. And you know, Joe Aribo, he's played almost every game, if not every game, for Nigeria. They got all the way through to the Africa Cup of Nations. They had all their qualifiers as well. Rangers have played 3 domestic competitions. They've gone right through qualifiers, group stages, and now a 4th knockout round in the Europa League. It is a lot of football. I'm quite sure if Joe Aribo on the show, he would say he's quite happy to play it when he's playing
it
games like
Callum McGregor.
It did not
because he picked up another board on Sunday night, Gordon.
That's a good point though, James. We'll keep an eye on it. Make sure you get in touch. How's about this?
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Golden goals.
Finally broken through the £30,000 mark.
Brilliant.
On Super Scoreboard's Golden Goals. I remember when we set out in January and we decided to add at least £250 into the pot for every goal Celtic or Rangers scored. I was trying to roughly figure it out, and I had sort of 30 grand in my mind. I knew it would be upwards of 30 grand. And lo and behold, it is. We're sitting at £30,500. And one of you wins the lot tax-free at the end of the season. But remember, it's £30,500 just now. Rangers play on Thursday. They then both play at the weekend. We need to finish the league. Rangers play in the Scottish Cup final. So it'll be a lot more than that come the end of the campaign, and you will not want to miss out. Text GOAL to 61025, G-O-A-L to 61025. It's £2 to text, plus your standard message rate, over 18s only. And the full terms and online entry are at Clyde1.com. The lines close at 6 p.m. Saturday the 21st of May. So for your chance to be the winner at the end of the season, text GOAL to 61025 right now. Now I'm going to interrupt that, which I don't usually do, because you two are laughing. Now describe it to the listeners what you're laughing at on the screen in the Championship playoff.
No, you go, Roger. That was brilliant.
There was a young Inverness supporter who had a pair of large false ears on and was suited and booted. And initially, I don't think either Daz or myself picked up on it until the BBC cameraman flashed to the Inverness manager, Billy Dodds, who, he's not listening to the show, he's got other things to do along the road at Firhill, has got rather oversized ears. And the comparison was absolutely terrific.
Do you know why?
Go for it.
It's his son.
No way.
No.
That's Billy Dodds' son.
He did have an uncanny resemblance.
Well, that's why. That explains it.
How on earth do you know that?
No, I just know these things.
Are you the kid on here?
No,
is that his boy?
Serious. His boy's turned up with big fake ears on. He's come dressed as his dad.
That's fantastic. That's absolutely terrific.
Oh, that's good.
On that note.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're into the final part with Roger Hannah and Gordon DL. How is that playoff going? It's nearly half time and it's still goalless. the balance of play? Is that fair?
I'll do my best not to do down the game, but it's not exactly been brim full of goal scoring chances, Gordon.
The second legs can be better in these playoffs.
Right,
okay then. On this teaser, I think I'm going to actually up it. I think there's been a wee steward's inquiry rate. Let's call it 12. Since 2018, 12 players have played for Celtic or Rangers and at some point in their career have played for Wigan. So the Celtic or Rangers bit needs to be from the 17-18 season it is onwards, but they can have played for Wigan at any point. You've got Windass, Waghorn and Gardner from Rangers. You've got McCarthy from Celtic.
The obvious one, Tavernier.
The obvious one, well done. And do you know what? A really good response to this one on Twitter. I like a lot of people are taking it seriously. Milo's thrown in some stuff. Raymond Taylor's got some. Nathan has got an outstanding shout. And by the way, Nathan's the one that unearthed the Sheard's inquiry, shall we say.
Okay.
Silver Fox Scott has given it a go.
You've got another one, Daz.
Yeah, I've gone for Jordan Jones.
Well done.
What about Leon Balogun?
Well done.
Oh, I never got that.
Shea Ojo.
Oh, that's a shout. I must admit, that's one. No offence, Shea, if you're listening.
I didn't pick up
Shea Ojo.
Nah, still wouldn't have got that. You can ask me.
Under Gerard started some of the
scored.
Never got that one.
Anyway, okay, we'll leave it there. 1, 2, 3, 4 to get. One of the Celtic ones is, in fact, do you know what? Both of the remaining Celtic ones are really tough.
Tough.
Because for one of them, I don't think you'll know or remember that he played for Wigan. And for the other one, in time you'll forget that he played for either.
Okay,
with no disrespect to him if he's listening.
None taken.
Exactly. I'll throw another wrong answer out there for you, just to help you eliminate. Jack Hendry didn't appear for Wigan. He was at the club,
right? Yeah.
And it was incidentally 1 year ago today. Do you remember he went viral by calling one of his teammates a space cadet?
Yeah.
In Belgium, I'm not sure what the translation is. That was a year ago today. Would you believe?
Yeah, less than a year since he said something similar about his manager and hasn't started since.
Well, I was going to say he's gone from facing Messi to
being Messi.
Lewis McLeod went to Brentford, didn't he?
But he went to Wigan, but just he didn't play for Rangers since 2018.
Right. Okay.
So that is your problem there. Mm. Other than that, just thinking, it's that stage of the season, Roger, where you know teams start to offload and. You know, it's Lee Griffiths has been let go by Falkirk as one of, I think, 14 players in all.
Yeah.
And I think they wanted to keep Anton Dowds, but he's gone and signed a pre-contract for Partick Thistle, actually. But look, given who Lee Griffiths is and where he's been, that takes the headlines and you just wonder what's next.
You do wonder what's next. For Falkirk, what's next is John McGlynn and Paul Smith, as we said at the top of the show. And I think, you know, if you're John McGlynn and Paul Smith, you probably do want to go in and have a clean slate. There will be players contracted at the football club. There'll be just few in number, and that allows John and Paul to go in and build their own squad. What's next for Lee Griffiths, I think, is less certain. Started the season at Celtic, didn't make an impact. Went to the D and loan, didn't make an impact. Went to Falkirk in the third tier of Scottish football and didn't make an impact. So there is no doubting Lee Griffiths' quality. There is no doubting Lee Griffiths' talent. Lee Griffiths could come back and play at more or less any level he wants in Scottish football. Well, nowadays, perhaps with the exception of the top two.
How old is he now?
He's in his early 30s.
Still a lot.
It's all down to Lee Griffiths.
But the problem is, as a player,
is that starting to seem like a longer way back? Now,
of course it is.
We should put a bit of a caveat, because Falkirk generally were a shambles, so we'll never know if this is all, you know, down to Lee Griffiths not making a mark, as much as you're right, you know, factually. Whether other circumstances at Falkirk, could anyone have thrived this season? Who knows? But yeah, he's 31 now. You just wonder, there'll still be clubs out there that think they can be the ones to get a tune out of him, won't there?
Possibly, but I think that pool of clubs is probably shrinking with each transfer window and each opportunity that's passed up by Lee Griffiths. But as I say, it's up to him. He's got the talent. He has got far more talent than 95% of players in Scottish football, perhaps a bigger percentage. But it's not all about talent. It's about attitude. It's about discipline. It's about desire. And if you don't have those qualities, you don't allow the talent to shine through. He's got the talent, It's up to him whether he's got the application.
It's been a long old time since we saw it, Gordon, really, when you think about it. You know, we're not talking even a couple of years ago now. And he would say, you know, there wasn't ample opportunity at Celtic. Neil Lennon disagrees with that. And, you know, and round we go. But as a guy who, you know, had that day at Hampden, you know, not that long ago in the grand scheme of things, you do wonder what the next season holds.
It'll be interesting for him, Gordon. I think that a person like Lee Griffiths going to, you know, League One becomes very difficult. People will say, well, you're down a standard, you should be able to, you know, score goals week in, week out. It doesn't work like that because you're not playing with the Tom Rogic's, the Callum McGregor's of this world that can pick up your run in 2 minutes and slide that fantastic pass through for you to go on and finish it off. You're playing with a different level of player, i.e. that's why they're in League One. So yeah, he's got to stop that falling down the ladder somewhere if he's going to keep his career going. I agree with Roger. I think the boy is talented. There's no doubt about that. But it's up to him to, you know, sit in the summer and decide that, look, I've got a few years left in me. I need to get the right find. If he could find the right club. We've seen it with players before. With players that were sort of their careers were falling by the wayside. All of a sudden a club, a manager comes in. The fans love them. You look at Tony Watt going to Motherwell. It was the best thing that ever happened to him. Tony Watt was a fantastic player there because he was at the right fit. Okay, he moved on to Dundee United, probably because of financial situations. So if Lee Griffiths decides to sit down and say, right, okay, I've got a few years left, whatever it may be, in my career, I'm going to give it my best shot, I'm going to try and find the right place, the right club, the right manager, of course you still got to tune them.
It's going to be a fascinating summer, not only for him, but of course you always get that turnover and players heading in various directions as we move towards the end of this first half. Roger, it's not his all to play for. We're a quarter of the way through this overall playoff.
Yeah, and he didn't look happy in the touchline. He'll probably look less happy if he spots his son in the way off at half time. But I think Billy Dodge will be the happier of the two managers. Cally Thistle have presented a bit more of a goal threat. Shane Sutherland early, Logan Chalmers as well. They will be quite happy to be off at 0-0. And I think if it finishes 0-0, they will be the more content of the two sides going back up to the Cally Stadium on Friday night, which wasn't really a happy hunting ground for Gordon Dale.
It was not Partick Thistle 0, Inverness 0. We are no closer. There are no clues yet as to whether either of these sides can join us in the top flight next season. So we'll have to keep an eye for the remainder of tonight and then the remainder of the week, and then onwards we go. Let's see if we can round off this teaser. And by the way, thanks again to Jerry and Erskine for sending it in. If you've been inspired by this question or any others and you want to get involved in the show, you can send the email to fulltime@clyde1.com and get your question in. So since 2018, 12 players have played for Celtic or Rangers, and they've also played for Wigan at some point in their career. So Leon Balogun, James Tavernier, Jordan Jones, Shea Ojo, Josh Windass, Martin Waghorn, Joe Garner. So they're mostly Rangers, but James McCarthy's on there. Let's go. Let's get the remainder.
Come on, Rog.
Oh, what about Scott Sinclair?
Say it again, sorry.
Scott Sinclair.
That I didn't think you would get that. I can't remember him playing for Wigan, but well done.
Are there still a Rangers one on there, Gordon?
There are two Rangers, right, one Celtic.
I can't. I'm trying to think. Got a funny name. He played centre forward. Lad up front, bags of pace.
I know who you mean.
I'm on the right track.
Yeah.
Bags of I can see his face. What's his name?
Oh. No, Harry Forrester.
No.
All right, well
Joe Dodo.
Yeah, well done. Right, quick. There's one more of each.
It's not Conor Goldson, is it?
No, I'm surprised you haven't got this.
John Flanagan.
No.
Gives a clue. Goalkeeper in there.
Centre back for Rangers.
Oh, Rob Kiernan.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have got.
Here's the Celtic one. I knew you would never get it. You probably don't know that he played for Wigan, and in time, you will forget that he played for Celtic. The Celtic fans probably don't look on this short period too fondly. But by the way, it's not really held him back. He's gone on to play at a decent level this season, albeit his team might not finish in the division they want to.
I've not a clue.
Oh, Timo Pukki?
No.
What position did you say, centre back?
Well, no, there were shouts that the Celtic fans haven't seen a full back struggle since Mark Wilson met Daniel Kuzan.
Hey, who else was at Celtic? Moritz Bauer?
No, recently, last season.
Last season at Celtic?
Now plays for Everton, his parent club.
Oh, John Joe Kenny.
Never
I got that.
Good effort though. Thank you to Roger Hanna and Gordon DL. Thanks for all your calls, your tweets. Thanks to those of you who listen quietly. We're back tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Marvin Bartley, he's getting lively on this show, but if he's late one more time, I think we'll need to bin him. So hopefully he's listening. Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley tomorrow. Lindsay Gibson is up next.